ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. All right, Jim and I finished our scuffle. I don't know why. He's so hyper-competitive this morning. I got in the parking structure. He's like, ha-ha, I beat you in the building. Okay.
That's weird, right, because you always get at me for missing the toss if I'm
late. So that's why
so
he
I was
had
ahead
to
of you by
shove me out of the way.
Okay. 30
All
seconds.
Right. All right. That was very impressive, Jim. All right.
You should learn not to compete with me. I always win.
Studio first. All right, StephanieMiller.com, the website. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer Chris Lavoie, Pistorius over there, Jim Ward.
Pistorius?
Or Oscar Pistorius. You know.
Very competitive. Very,
Blade Runner
little
guy.
Abusive.
Oh,
okay.
Right. Okay.
Can I just
a little abusive.
What? Can I just say something?
What?
I heard like, some legal analysts on, I think it was CNN, saying his story seems plausible. I'm like, really? Maybe it's just because it was a defense attorney. I'm like, really?
The cricket bat part is a little...
Right.
Yeah.
But what if you think there's an... who shoots through a bathroom door if you think there's...
Well, someone coming through the bathroom window. The Beatles wrote a song about
it. Are you stealing my Cialis? I'm just saying. It's just weird that you shoot in a, if you think your intruder is in the bathroom.
Well, like, if you heard someone in the bathroom and you didn't see someone go in the bathroom...
Oh,
then,
I see.
Yeah.
Okay. I don't know. It seems a little...
But the cricket bat thing is
still... Well, right. They're saying if there's DNA and stuff on there.
And the bathroom door was locked from the inside, not from the outside. So why would the intruder lock himself in the bathroom?
Well, he probably didn't check to see if it was locked.
Oh.
I'm not sure he even had his legs on.
Yeah, but does an intruder stop to what's like, hang on a second, don't come in here, but I'm going to come out and steal some...
I mean, the only reason someone would lock themselves in the bathroom is out
of
defense.
Yeah.
Right.
Right.
That's
so...
It just doesn't seem that plausible to me, is all I'm saying.
Yeah. Unless it's one of those things that you can lock, you know, from the outside and shut it, and you can't, whatever.
Right.
Anyway.
Yeah, no, I just first heard it. I was like, what? Hey, are you stealing my, that roll-on testosterone stuff coming in?
Testosterone was found in his house.
Right, and steroid needles.
Steroids, yeah.
Yeah, and then I heard some sports writers comparing him to Lance Armstrong and, I don't know, Mickey Mantle. I'm like, is drinking and, I don't know, steroids the same thing as... Allegedly shooting your girlfriend? I don't know. Anyway, I guess they need, you know, they need time to fill on cable news. So
sure.
People need to, you know, posit various sorts of, all right. Oh, and then my friend and I were talking about, Jim, about Minnie McCready, because we also were talking about, you know, this is all ties into the gun debate we've been having about when there's a gun available, whether it's a
Did
domestic...
Did she have to shoot her dog?
Right, that's what we were talking about, but whether it's a domestic dispute or a suicide, we were just saying, these are all the studies we were talking about, how many zillion more times likely it is to happen if there's a gun in the house. But that's what I said yesterday. Why does she have to shoot her dog? And then my friend Trish said, well, you know, Hitler did that. And then she said,
well,
but, you know,
Hitler
you know, he was probably afraid what they would do to his dog. And she goes, oh, my God, wait, I'm defending Hitler.
Yeah. No, Hitler didn't have a number one single.
No, Hitler, true. Well, we don't know.
Hitler not a good country singer.
No.
Wait a minute.
So there's that.
Well, different country. Don't do my fine.
Yeah, as a dog lover, your dog can live without you. I think dogs can't live without me, and then T-Bone gets with them for 5 minutes, and they're like, who now?
Hitler gave his dog Blondie the cyanide capsule to see if it would work.
Oh.
Because he was
all right, now he's a bastard.
So then he took the cyanide pill and shot himself, just to be sure.
Oh. All right, well, now he's back to being a bastard. But she was saying, she was realizing, she was kind of saying maybe she was trying to spare him because she thought they would do bad things to him and torture him, so...
Hmm.
When she suddenly caught herself defending Hitler.
He was a vegetarian. Got to give
Well,
him that.
Yeah, that's why she's a vegetarian, too. So that's why she's reflexively. She reflexively tends to.
Just defend all vegetarians.
Right.
Including Hitler.
Yeah. It's so defensive.
And Hitler's diet was largely raw vegetables and beer.
I'm sure he was pleasant to be around.
Lord. No wonder Eva Braun shot herself in the bunker.
No wonder.
She's like, well, okay, you know what?
That's why World War II happened.
Okay. What's a Romeo and Juliet thing? It was oh, my God, really?
Get out of the house. Go and make Poland or something.
I know it's good German food. But
get out of the country. Go and eat something.
Get out of the house. All right.
Wow.
Yeah, what? That was
awful.
Highly inappropriate.
Yes.
How do we get on that?
You see what happens when Jim and I get here moments before the show with no preparation other than who can get into the studio first? R&B, I don't know whether it's the music or a couple. Stephen the Mooks, my husband and I got our tickets to the Chicago show. Woohoo! Can't wait to see you all. Hope we can find a place to park with all those Escalades, Roadclair Mary says are here.
Yeah.
It's going to be a lot of blacks with their Escalades full of groceries that they bought with all the food stamps that they stole from her son.
Can he get into the show with food stamps?
All right, hurry. Tickets going very fast, really. April 13th. Go to sexyliberal.com for the ticket link. Go right to the Chicago Theater box office.
That's right.
Go to sexyliberal.com.
Right there at State and Lake.
Right
there. It's right there. That's where it is.
I used to work right across the street from there.
Oh, I got another spectacular. This is going to make your eyes hurt. The grammar and lack of.
Oh,
this is
wow.
A complete. It's another hate letter.
Of course.
Oh, boy.
Which are surprisingly free of any sort of punctuation.
Mm-hmm.
This is seriously. This is not just grammar police.
Don't write angry. Don't write angry.
This is like a grammar holocaust.
I don't Back to Hitler.
Seriously.
I don't mean to overstate it, but this what is done to this sentence should happen to nobody. Okay, subject line. Okay, first of all, no caps. Apparently no caps at all. He's the opposite of that guy in the commercial that always gets his caps lock stuck.
His shift button.
I'm sorry, I sometimes get my caps lock stuck. Who wants to go for a drink? He's the opposite of that guy. He doesn't know where the caps.
Maybe both of his shift buttons have gone missing.
Sure.
Coincidence? I think not. Mm.
Steve, please and thank you. His name's Steve. Mm. Subject line, brains.
Mm.
Okay. I guess the implication already would be he has them and we don't, but okay. Here we go. Where do you people get your brains at? Can I just say there's not a period in this entire thing?
Wow.
Okay. Where do you people get your brains at? I think yours, Y-O-U, apostrophe S. I think yours are stuck at the bottom of your feel, Obama.
Huh? Feel Obama.
Huh?
Obama is spelled O-B-O-M-A. One would have to guess he meant Obama.
Sure.
Bottom of your feel, Obama, is no good. Anyone that thinks, that's with an apostrophe S, thinks guns, with also an apostrophe S.
Oh.
Anyone that thinks guns are the problem needs, apostrophe S, to get help. Gun, don't kill people, do wake up.
Wow.
Wow.
No, actually, guns
I need
do
to
kill
make
people.
You look at it.
No, no, don't. No.
It's like it garlic
burns.
To a vampire.
Damn your eyes. No.
How many apostrophes did he put in that screed with four E's?
Way too many superfluous apostrophes.
Thank you for your thoughts.
Superfluous apostrophes.
And hypotheses.
All right. Thank you for your thoughts, Steve. Much appreciated.
Strophal apocalypse.
All right. Representative Maxine Waters coming up next hour.
Good.
We will talk sequester, gun control, State of the Union, et cetera. Mm-hmm. Sexy liberal Hal Sparks right in that chair.
Right there.
Hour
as
number
soon as
three.
I move my bag.
Right.
Well, then that'll happen. You have a couple of hours. A
couple hours. You can go at Mitch McConnell speed, literally.
Yeah.
Still get it done.
I believe that perhaps I should consider the possibility.
Okay, time's up.
All right.
That's my time.
Time is up. That's my time. Tried to feel. Okay, and now a story about cats. Because I don't know why we do it nearly every day.
Yeah.
Cats have been, because y'all are cat people.
Yes.
Cats have been walking all over us for centuries. Medievalist? Apparently that's a job. A medievalist. Somebody.
Huh. Okay. I'm sure he works at a university somewhere.
Right. It was flipping through 15th century manuscripts in Croatia at the State Archives.
Okay.
Your average light reading, says Doctor.
Sure.
When he came across something rather remarkable on the page's feline paw prints.
Oh, wow. Cool.
The medieval version of cats walking across your keyboard.
Keyboard,
as
yes.
Jazz does.
It happens all the time.
They kept cats in the monastery to take care of the mice.
How many times a week do I say, what did Chris mean by flying? Is this a Scott Brown tweet, or did Chris say flung?
And that's when Boots sat on the keyboard and demanded a neck scratch. As Boots does.
Gawker finishes by saying, as if you needed any additional proof, the cats have always been holes. Look, he ruined that entire manuscript.
I see the paw prints,
Paw prints. Stupid kid. Stupid medieval kid.
Maybe he didn't like what he wrote.
No. Change that.
Yeah.
All right.
He was his editor.
Can I have some Russian music, please?
Oh, sure.
Also, just evils of the interwebs. Because that's what we have pretty much, it's been a giant brain drain, just looking at cats doing cute things.
Yeah.
And I don't, getting in other various kinds of trouble. For instance, women breaks up with fiancé after finding him with another girl on Russian Google Maps.
Oh.
On Google Maps?
Yes.
You know what the street view is? Oh. It's creepy.
That
you
really
can,
is.
Invasive. Oh, mm-hmm. Right?
I think it's great because when you get to your destination, you know what it looks like.
Right, like that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, not if you're Marina Voineva.
Oh boy.
She was looking up an address using the website Street View feature when she happened across a man who looked like Alexander, her boyfriend of 5 years.
Huh.
With his arms around a woman that did not look like her.
Hmm.
He immediately confessed everything, and then she broke up with him.
You know, those street views aren't instantaneous. That could have been taken a few
weeks ago.
Yeah.
See, he should have thought of that instead of confessing. He should have been like, well, yeah. That's
no, that was
Google's notoriously outdated. You know how many businesses were shut down that they...
Yeah.
That's
Street View isn't the view right that very second.
Really? Oh, I did not know
just
that.
Letting you know.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
Just letting Russia know,
good
too,
to know.
Apparently.
Let me write that down. Okay. All right, so lots to get to. We got a sequester and all that there stuff.
Yep.
17 minutes after the hour, we continue on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Call Stephanie now. She's easy. 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
You're thinking, is the conversation any less hilarious during the commercial breaks here? No. What did you go ahead, just reenact it. You said, hey, did you...
Yes, was that a David Korn article you read on the air yesterday? We're trying to book him.
And I said, Korn? When did I read Korn?
Okay.
See what I did there? It's because his name is... Okay.
No, it was a. We know we're going to book him. He was the Mother Jones piece. It was Gun Myths, and it's
yes,
great.
Yes, it was
stuff.
Dave Gilson, and we would like to book him.
Yes, we're going to book him. But yes. David Korn writes Love other great stuff in
yes.
Mother Jones.
Oh,
so I did read
more.
Korn at some point. I remember reading Korn.
When did I read Korn?
Hmm. Ouch. All right.
That was a callback to a bit we did a really long time ago, wasn't it?
Oh, probably. It's an old joke. All right, 23
well, yes.
minutes after the. Oh, by the way, because I was talking about what. Why you shoot through a bathroom door? Why wouldn't? Why when Jim said why wouldn't? We're talking about Pistoria's case. Why would an intruder lock the door from the inside?
Right.
Unless it was, you know, Korn. When did I have Korn? Hang on a second.
Unless the intruder.
I'm going, coming to rob you, but just hang on. I've got a problem.
I've got to evacuate my
bowels. I'm having a situation here.
Or maybe the intruder thought that the locking the door would stop bullets. I would,
sure.
Yeah.
Yes. Well, witnesses heard nonstop shouting in the home of Oscar Pistoria shortly before his
opening. Yeah, that's a pretty bad sign.
Well, right, but the defense will say, oh, yes, he was shouting at the what he thought was
intruder.
The burglar
intruder.
Or whatever. Yes.
Which
I don't think he thought
wife.
Through that whole story. That's what we're saying. You don't normally give a story that detailed before you've talked to a, what's the word, a lawyer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because it's had some holes in it. So
yeah, and the cricket bat is disturbing, damning.
Yeah. Right, but that's why they're saying it's even more damning if he gave that statement before he knows if they know if there's any DNA evidence on the bat. Anyway, 24 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Well, look who's here, everybody. Thank you. Cue the banjo players.
From Ohio, it's the John and Pam Show. It's the John and Pam, John and Pam, John and Pam Show.
Good morning, John and Pam Show.
Sweet baby doll. How's all my honey?
Aww.
All your honeys are here and accounted for. Thank you.
Well, John's going to talk, but I got one thing to ask.
Okay.
Stephanie, honey, that hateful old letter that you got this morning.
Yes.
That came from a proud NRA member.
You think so? Could be.
I know so, sweetheart.
Right.
I love you guys. Now, here's John.
Okay, thank you. Hi, John.
Hey, how you guys doing today?
Good.
Hey, back here in our wonderful state of Ohio. John Boehner's going around talking about back in August of 2011.
You mean Boehner?
Plinter.
You mean Boehner?
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's right, Boehner. So anyway, he said he got 80% of what he wanted from President Obama.
That's
and
right.
He was happy.
Actually, he said 98%, John.
Well, okay.
Yep.
Well,
yep.
Well, he's not. He can't even remember that. He's putting out his own wrong information.
That's right.
Well, the thing that's funny is Obama, I mean, he's trying to tell us what we need to do to tell our Congress and that and everything. You know, they basically got what they wanted in 2011, and that's basically what we're voting on now, and they're still not happy.
Yep, absolutely. No, that's absolutely right, John. It's just all this sort of partisan swaggering when he basically got his ass handed to him the last couple of times, and now they're trying to say, oh, well, it was Obama's idea. Well, you all agreed to it because, you know, and I don't know why anybody thought Republicans would be more reasonable, but we thought they would, I guess.
Well, I think it's time for Obama to break out the big stick and let's start hitting some home runs up there.
Okay, John, whatever that baseball analogy means, I'm with you on it. All right, the president talking lots of questions.
They haven't come together and done their jobs, and so as a consequence, we've got these automatic, brutal spending cuts.
Yep. Yeah, he delivered. We actually carried some of that live yesterday. He talked about the troubling consequences of the sequester, deep indiscriminate spending cuts to defense and domestic programs set to take effect March 1st, and demanding Republicans drop their blanket opposition to raising revenues in a deal to avoid it. Flanked by a group of first responders, Obama called the cuts arbitrary, brutal, warning they will hurt our economy and cost hundreds of thousands of jobs,
mm-hmm.
which, frankly, I think is what the GOP is hoping for, and then they'll go, look what you did.
Right.
This is their play that they run every time. In a replay of the strategy he used on the fiscal cliff and debt ceiling debates, used the bully pulpit to portray Republicans as obnoxious ideologues.
That's not hard.
Well, who would ever buy that storyline?
That's because they're obnoxious ideologues.
Willing to crash the economy to achieve their own political goals,
yep.
and enlist the public to force them to back down. Both times Obama, emboldened by his reelection victory, trounced the GOP. So we shall see what happens this time. The president.
So these cuts are not smart. They are not fair. They will hurt our economy. They will add hundreds of thousands of Americans to the unemployment rolls. This is not an abstraction. People will lose their jobs. The unemployment rate might tick up again.
And I will deny the president a third term. Gotcha.
Yeah. Seems to be Yertle's main.
Yeah.
Boehner said Washington Democrats' newfound concern about the president's sequester. Oh, he's clever how he keeps calling it. We'll buy that because
Obama
it must be the
Obamaquester.
Hashtag.
Ah.
The social media boys and I came up with that over bourbon.
Yeah.
Obamaquester.
And you can tell.
Yeah,
Obama cluster, huh?
Catchy.
Get me.
Rolls off the tongue. Is appreciated, but words alone won't avert it. Replacing the president's sequester. Oh, there it is again in the second sentence.
Yes, Obama cluster.
Hashtag. Do you say the hashtag first or after?
You say it first. You say it first.
No, I'm doing boner.
Oh, okay, but you probably didn't know either.
Okay. I was mocking him for something that, yeah.
Yeah.
Is this where we break or no?
Not yet.
Okay, great.
Good Lord.
All right. Replacing the president's sequester will require a plan to cut spending that will put us back on a path to a budget that's balanced in 10 years. To keep these first responders on the job, what other spending is the president willing to cut? So it's his basic, I know you are, but what am I argument that he makes every time. Now, as before, Obama's position is the more popular one. As I pointed out, won on it. You know, FYI.
Uh-huh.
Okay. The revenues he and Senate Democrats are proposing to turn off the sequester for a year, requiring millionaires to pay at least a 30% tax rate, ending tax loopholes for the oil and gas industry, are well liked by the public. The GOP position is while there are ways to make the cuts that are more preferable to the sequester plan, they'd rather see the sequester take effect than raise even one penny in new revenue.
Hmm.
Representative Paul Ryan said Sunday, I believe the sequester is going to take place. So there, they're rooting for it. We will talk more about this 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Remember, kids, she's not a whore if she's an actress.
Well.
By the way, I forgot to tell you, guess what I'm doing Monday?
What?
I'm shooting a role in my next film.
You have a film?
I will have a body of work of two films, then. I'm shooting a role in a film.
Really?
I will be playing?
Stephanie Miller.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. What's the film about?
I don't really know. It's
about you said
my
yes
friend
and you
is,
don't know.
My friend is directing a film, and it's okay. It's a feature. It's a, and I'm playing myself, asking people questions on the red carpet somewhere.
Isn't that what you did?
I have to wear a gown? I don't know.
Isn't that what you did in Room at the Top?
No.
No?
No. I played a different version of...
Stephanie Miller.
Ah.
The television host.
I see. Okay.
And in Diagnosis Murder, I played...
Stephanie Miller.
The radio host.
Mm-hmm.
And isn't that what you did completely to different. Brooke Shields in a commercial? You asked her questions?
No. You're getting my ridiculous stories. Oh, Cindy Crawford.
Cindy Crawford. Okay.
Cindy Crawford. Yes. I was Cindy Crawford's comedy monkey on a Revlon shoot once. Seriously, her Brits.
That's what they hired
her
you
Brits
for?
Was a fan of mine of the radio show, and he hired me to interview Cindy off camera so that she would look like she was talking to a person rather than just saying lines awkwardly like a model of some sort.
Like she did in that one movie that she was in.
Right, so I was supposed to ask
Adam
her the
Baldwin
questions
so
when
yeah.
she, the answers would seem conversational. I was supposed to make her laugh and stuff.
How did that work for her?
Not so much.
How did it work for you?
Good. I got paid a lot of money.
Good.
I never... I was out of work at the time. I was like, I'm sorry, am I in the commercial? No. Is my voice in the commercial? No. You're going to pay me how much? Good. When do I need to be there? And I'll tell you, the first meeting with Cindy, they brought me in her trailer.
Yeah.
To meet her.
Yeah.
And I was like, hi, Cindy. Like that. I started, and she was on the phone. She just goes like that.
Oh.
She just gave me the, uh-huh. Yeah.
With the one finger.
Listen, comedy
See,
monkey,
you're
don't
not
talk.
Very important finger.
Don't talk to me. And so
yes.
I didn't.
You're not very important to me finger.
You need to hush now.
It's a little different from the middle finger.
Well,
it's not
yeah.
quite as harsh. It's just that you are not worthy to be breathing the same air as me right now.
That's right. The shut up comedy monkey finger.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Oh, boy.
All right. Let's go. It really was. I couldn't hear the circus music. I was there like all day.
Yeah.
On the set just sitting around. I don't know. And then they're like, okay, cue the comedy monkey. I'm like, hi, Cindy. I got a question for you. I worked for like 5 minutes.
Hey, monkey.
Really?
Interviewing her. Yep. Mm-hmm. That was it. That's
and you got
life.
Paid a buttload of money.
I did.
Wow.
That's awesome.
How can I get a job like that?
It's a great country. So they don't exist anymore.
All right.
Matt in Louisiana. That was a different economy, a different time. Hello, Matt in Louisiana. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome.
I'm a transplant from California, so I think I've made Louisiana just a little bit more bluer. So.
Yay.
My wife and I, we watched it for years. But
thank
Steph,
you.
And guys, don't please cut me off. Die hard progressive. But I want to take you to task on a little bit of this.
Uh-oh.
Okay. Why is it that we don't lean a little bit on the left a little more? Like Barack Obama's ridiculous drone policy, his ridiculous lack of prosecution on the, on Moody's, giving AAA ratings to the financial, crisis.
Well, let's start with the first one, because I don't...
Hey,
Okay.
One more.
Progressives, we're allowed to disagree. I don't think the drone policy is ridiculous. I agree with you that there are some troubling things about it, but, it's not an easy debate, do you think? I'd rather,
I think it's a slam dunk, Stephanie. I think it is a very...
You don't think we should use drones at all?
No, we shouldn't. We shouldn't. We have our Navy team, Navy SEAL Team 6. Mm. They are warriors. They are built to go in, take out, hood whoever we have. And if they die...
Right, but we're going to have a lot more, right? We're going to have a lot more American military deaths, right?
But if we have more... But if that means they're dying to save civilians in other countries, it's a worthy cause. That's what makes us the White Hats.
I see your point.
I mean, the more innocent civilians we kill, the worse our
the more enemies we create exactly. overseas.
You know, Matt, I think I just tried to be honest about the fact that I guess it's just coming. If you watched Rachel Maddow's special the other night, just remembering the Iraq War and how many, millions died, not just Iraqis and Americans, unnecessarily. So, I guess when you're comparing it to the way George Bush fought the quote-unquote war on terror, how long we've been in Afghanistan, because of the fact that he took his eye off the ball, we went into Iraq. I mean, how many millions of people are dead that would have been alive?
Rachel's story was on Guantanamo.
Policy. Why are we still in there? Why aren't we pulling out?
Of where?
I mean, but,
of where?
Afghanistan. Barack Obama.
We are.
Well, he put an expiration date of 2014, and we all kind of parked it and forgot about it. We still got kids dying. We still
he's getting out ahead of schedule, Matt. I mean, ahead of where he had said.
Ahead of whose schedule, ahead of his schedule, so therefore we don't talk about it, we don't bring it up.
Right, but he ran on this, man. I listen. I respect your, you know, your ability to disagree with the president's policy. But he did run on this, right? He said we're getting out of Iraq. He said he was going to double down on Afghanistan. He was going to finish, and he did. He finished what George Bush started, in the sense that we went in there to get Bin Laden, right?
But we got Bin Laden, so why wasn't it the day after?
Right, and we're drawing down in Afghanistan.
Out of there.
But that's, but see, Matt, this is part of, and you're right, as liberals, maybe it's something you and I don't like that much, but part of why we're withdrawing from Afghanistan is because we're doing more targeted drone strikes instead of American boots on the ground.
Well, again, American boots on the ground shouldn't be the predicate of us killing civilians at any cost just to save our butts. There comes a point where you are a warrior.
But,
like
but,
I said,
the,
I
but the drone strikes are targeted to avoid civilian casualties, Matt. The problem is
they don't.
No, I was just saying, but they're obviously designed to avoid civilian casualties. The point, you know, you can't tell me George Bush didn't know he was going to kill a lot of civilians when he took out several blocks in Baghdad, right? Trying to hit Saddam Hussein on even just some of the first strikes, right?
Again, you're really talking about Bush, and I'm talking about Mr. Obama. I love President Obama. I voted for him. I'll vote for him again. But at the same time, when you have a kid that's not behaving well in school, you don't pat him on the head, you give him a kick in the butt, you know? And just because the Republicans are nuts, and we could both agree on that.
Right.
If we spend our days picking out the picadillos of what the stupid things Rush Limbaugh says every day, and we don't lean on our president to be a little bit more to the left, I mean, just
but
for
I think
example,
we do, Matt. That's what I don't get about progressives. I mean, they certainly do. We've always been very outspoken about what we disagree with on the president. I don't see how that's. Obviously he has moved to the left. Look at how happy progressives were with his inaugural address. He has moved to the left on some issues, right?
Oh, it's wonderful window dressing and great theater. But I've yet to see one person from Moody's or AIG or anyone get frogmarked or prosecuted from this administration's DOJ.
As Senator Warren very aptly pointed out the other day.
Yeah, she doesn't head up the Department of Justice. President, you know, Obama is in charge of the Department of Justice, and there hasn't been a single
Matt, this was a good, constructive conversation. I remain an Obama apologist. I'm sorry. I don't feel that I have anything to apologize for.
But Matt, I do.
But that's
I
what
do,
you two yeah. are there
the
for.
Reason, the reason those of us on the left don't say anything is because we get called naysayers by her.
Yeah.
Point out anything
you
Obama
can say,
does.
You do it all the time.
Yeah,
I
mean,
but then we get shot down.
It's my show. I can be an Obama apologist and you can be naysayers. That's part of the magical charm of the show. I've said it over and over again. I don't care. See, my fellow Obama apologist, Hal Sparks, will be here. I really love this president. I do. I don't feel I have anything to apologize
and
for.
Matt,
I think he will go down in history as one of our greatest presidents. I'm not saying I'm not troubled by some of the drone stuff. I'm not saying I don't get Matt's points.
Right. And Matt said that he's a big fan of President Obama and that he would vote for him again if he were given the chance.
Right.
However, this drone thing is very troubling.
Right.
And
it's not like you two aren't allowed to speak. Just because I'm a big bitch doesn't mean you don't get to talk.
Yeah, and it just bothers me that, that you know, Julian Assange has to hide while the bankers just can keep...
Yeah. Department of Justice has done absolutely nothing about Wall Street.
I mean,
and that
we
is
played that we played those Elizabeth Warren cuts.
Right,
and
that's
why,
great.
I mean,
she can say all of that,
right,
but it's the Department
the good
of Justice.
News is she has more power now. She's in the Senate than if
right. But it's the Department of Justice that needs to,
it.
And that's headed up ultimately by President Obama because it's part of the executive branch.
Right, but Senator Warren, who we gave money to for
sexy
liberal in Boston. What I'm saying is that's a way of leaning on. Forcing people to the left of the administration. It's getting people.
Right.
We have a whole. We remember we did that article on what a great new liberal Senate we have in terms of like a lot of the new people that have gotten in. So I'm saying I'm hopeful with a Senator Warren. And we have our Alan Grayson back in Congress.
Exactly. Yeah. I just hope that they have enough influence on the executive branch that they that the Department of Justice does something.
All right. I got off track there a moment. I was talking about the sequester. Harumph. Obama said yesterday, most Americans agree with me, which, thank you. Using the bully pulpit, this is what I'm saying, is to call them out and go, look at this polling. Look at every issue that I just ran on and won on. He called sequestration a manufactured crisis, a self-inflicted wound, declared his door is open. He's willing to work with anybody to find better ways to achieve the same savings. And he talked about the consequences yesterday.
Emergency responders, like the ones who are here today, their ability to help communities respond to and recover from disasters will be degraded. Border Patrol agents will see their hours reduced. FBI agents will be furloughed. Federal prosecutors will have to close cases and let criminals go. Air traffic controllers and airport security will see cutbacks, which means more delays at airports across the country.
And fewer pictures of your junk being taken at the airport. So there's that.
And you know what will happen on cue?
What?
Republicans will be like, look at all this crime's gone up, the border's wide open.
I blame the president.
Plane crashes.
This is why the president must be denied a third term.
There's hurricane. Look at the federal response was abysmal.
Meteors?
What's happening
meteors,
here?
Huh? Meteors. Over Russia.
Yes.
Not over
and
America.
Here. No, they haven't said meteors over the East Coast.
But that's exactly what they'll blame Obama for everything that's like gone wrong.
Horse meat.
Right? Horse meat. Obama.
Wild horse meat. Couldn't drag me away.
Exactly, my boy. Terry in Mobile, Alabama. Hello, Terry.
Hi, Steph. I love your show. I love to wake up every morning with Bill Press, and things just keep getting better all
day
long.
That sounds dirty, but all right, go ahead, Terry.
Okay, I am a self-described gun nut. I got enough guns to invade Cuba is what I usually tell cops.
Are you planning that?
Have any guns.
Okay.
I'm happy about that. That's kept me alive for 63 years, having guns. But
how so?
Well, three times I've been attacked by convicted felons who illegally obtained a firearm and tried to kill me with it.
Hmm. Where?
And,
in your house?
Arizona.
In Arizona.
Well.
Yeah. Yeah, I'm down here in the southeast where they don't even know what being armed is. They got a gun, they got to show it to people. With me, when the bullets stopped flying, I turned myself over to the police. I'm a law-abiding citizen. You know, it's the criminals we got to worry about. Anyhow.
Right.
What I wanted to say when I called is I love gun bans. I want an assault weapons ban. I want a large capacity magazine ban because when those NRA nuts that I know so many of are running around wild-eyed screaming, they're going to take our guns. They're going to take our guns. The prices of the stuff that I bought 20 years ago go sky high.
Uh-huh.
Oh, I see. So it's all about you. I get it, Terry. All right.
No,
that's a good point.
No, that's a good point.
Then because his guns will be worth more. Right.
Well, no, the price of guns will go up, and so people can't afford to buy as many.
Right.
I think that was his point.
I don't get why you need so many guns.
No, I think his point is that the NRA is fronting for the arms manufacturers.
Right.
So that's their whole strategy to make the
profit. Wayne LaPierre's thing was a gun, you know, ad basically. Yeah. His whole screed. No matter what happens, do you need to buy a gun?
Yeah.
Chlamydia, buy a gun, shoot it off. It's just he brought up like a whole host of bills.
Chlamydia.
Right. Shoot it. All right.
Loser townie guy.
Shoot it.
What's the thing he said that, in the South, he was saying, if you have a gun, you need to show it to people?
I'm not sure what that means.
I don't know what that means either. What men just think you need to see it. There's a lot of things that go off in your hands. I trust you have it. I don't need to see it. I get it.
Well, did you hear about that pizzeria in Virginia Beach where if you show your gun or show your concealed carry permit, you get 20% off your pizza?
And if you start a gunfight, you might get 20% off your head.
Sure. There's that.
I was looking at a picture of John McCain at his town hall. That's a perfect example of someone that probably should not have a gun.
Yeah.
Because he's like, that's a permanent scowl. It's not the policy to ask me questions at the town hall.
He's a deeply unpleasant man.
Wow. Okay, 47. That's scary.
Yeah, they didn't cover that part in Game Change.
47 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
She gets insulted by more right wingers before 6 a.m. than most people do all day. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
This hour of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste. Nothing works faster or lasts longer at knocking out bad breath than TheraBreath. TheraBreath mouthwash and toothpaste available at Target, Walmart, Walgreens, and other fine stores.
It's good stuff.
We also love the mouth-wetting lozenges, which might have saved Marco Rubio's career. Had he thought about it? Just saying. Mm-hmm. Helpers. We're helpers. Wow. What's with the misspelled hate mail? Someone calling me a spastic bitch.
Spastic?
I think they meant
really?
Spastic.
Huh.
Okay.
All right. Why? Why
you
did they?
Spastic.
Did they expound on that?
Maybe he meant Spitznuts, Russian Special Forces.
Okay. Thomas in Atlanta, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I was referring to the last caller whenever he was talking about the drone initiative.
Right.
Let me just say this. I'm a U.S. sailor, retired, disabled veteran. And it kills me that folks that's never been in the military want to talk about how we conduct business.
Right.
You know, so.
Yeah, Thomas, I've gotten a lot of emails and calls from, you know, with the same point, basically, that, you know, the military is going to use whatever tools they have at their disposal to save lives. And most soldiers
exactly.
have called to say it saves a lot of American soldiers' lives. But
that's what it's supposed to do.
Yeah. But I mean,
that's what it is exactly.
But Tom, what I'm saying is, I also get the point that as Americans, we don't say we don't care about civilian casualties. We do, and we always historically have. So that it's not wrong that it troubles people, right?
Right. It's not wrong. But in the same sense, whenever you go to Yemen and you teach people how to kill us, you commit an act of treason. You get put on that list.
Right.
And to make another point, see, it took our president 2 years to find Osama bin Laden. George Bush and Dick Cheney and Rumsfeld, we had him in Afghanistan, and then they called us off.
Yep.
See, but like the last caller was saying, no one has gone to jail.
Right, and Tom, I mean, if they'd sent a drone in then, think how many more people would be alive today. You know, I mean, it's how many years.
Oh, of course.
How many?
Of course.
Right. Right. All right, honey, thank you. Let's go to Doug in Maryland. Hey, Doug, welcome. Hey, Doug.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
Long-time fan ever since you guys keep the current.
Thank you.
Thank you guys for that. I have a wife in Afghanistan right now, and with these sea requesters, it really makes me nuts when I look at Fox this morning and they're saying that our military might not be able to defend itself properly if they have these cuts. Man, I tell you, if we cut out the contractors in Afghanistan right now,
mm-hmm.
my wife would get the per diem that they got 10 years ago in Iraq, and we'd still have plenty of leftover money. So I'm all for defense cuts if we do it correctively and get rid of the contractors and pay the people in the suits to do what they're supposed to do.
Mm-hmm. Well, right, Doug, that's the thing, is doing it correctly. Yep. And the president talked about that yesterday.
So my door is open. I've put tough cuts and reforms on the table. I'm willing to work with anybody to get this job done. None of us will get 100% of what we want. But nobody should want these cuts to go through, because the last thing our families can afford right now is pain imposed unnecessarily by partisan recklessness and ideological rigidity here in Washington. As I said at the State of the Union, the American people have worked too hard, too long, rebuilding from one crisis to see their elected officials cause yet another one.
Daryl in Irvine, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Daryl.
Hey, good morning.
Hi.
I was calling, kind of piggybacking on what Thomas said about the gentleman who would rather send SEAL Team 6 in, and if they die, so be it. I just can't see how people who've never served and probably don't have family members, if his son was in there, he wouldn't want to send SEAL Team 6, the son was on SEAL Team 6, go down there and die.
Yeah.
It's safer with
Well, and I think, Daryl, it's you know, I don't think SEAL Team 6 can do everything everywhere in the world. I mean, it's
No,
you know.
No, they can. I wish we didn't have to lose any soldiers. I wish we weren't in war. I mean, most of us don't wish we weren't in there, but I don't want to send somebody else's kid in there to prove my point that war gets people killed. That's crazy.
Right. And, Daryl, you know, I think the success of the bin Laden operation, you know, may also make people feel like everything always goes off perfectly without a hitch, and we never lose one
right.
soldier, and we take out the number one terrorist in the world. That was like an incredible amount of planning, an incredibly gutsy call on the part of the president. And, it, you know, but that's what I mean. In some ways, it may look so easy. Like, why can't they just solve everything, right?
It's a dangerous part. Well, I served, I served 20 years ago, but a friend of mine who served with me was the first American killed in the Green Zone, was the safe part of Iraq back in, that was in, what, 2007. So, I mean, it's a dangerous part. Well, I don't want to send anybody over there at all, period.
Yep, I hear you. All right, Curtis in Georgia real quick on the same subject. Hey, Curtis, go ahead.
Hey, Steph, good morning. How are you?
Good, go ahead, 30 seconds.
I just wanted to weigh in on it. We're fighting a different war. This is what we call asymmetrical warfare, where the enemy is not identified. You can't identify him. So the use of drones, be it against Americans that are claimed to be terrorists or whatever they want to say, is the best way to fight this war. And that's just the bottom line. I mean, if you don't have a defined line and an enemy, using drones to kill the enemy is the best way to go.
All right. Thank you, Curtis. 58 minutes after the hour, back with Right Wing World, Maxine Waters, and more on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Oh, yeah, it is. Why? It's Hump Days with Hal Sparks. In just about an hour, my happy clappy friend joins me for Hump Days with Hal Sparks. Coming up in about an hour, Representative Maxine Waters this hour. But speaking of sexy liberals, why?
Me and the wife are fired up and ready to go. You betcha we are.
Getting fired up, a Midwest sexy liberal.
Yeah, yeah.
Ready to go. Waiting patiently for my meet and grow.
I got the VIP meet and grow tickets.
With John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and Stephanie.
Oh, this is just too cool.
There's John and Pam.
Oh my God, I love John and Pam. I made him a jingle.
I know.
So
I look
cute.
To my left, I look to my right.
Is that Ro Flair, Mary?
Oh my gosh. It's Rocky Mountain Mike. There's Marion Ann Arbor.
There's Kenny Pitt. I just hit the sexy liberal jackpot. Ding!
Ah, that Steph, she's a cutie.
Yeah, she's totes adorable.
She does have a nice booty.
Thank you.
Uh-huh.
Check it out for yourself, sexy
thanks.
Liberals. Saturday, April 13th in Chicago.
It's gonna be a good time,
don't
oh, yeah.
you know.
Hooray!
Thank you, Audra in Minneapolis. She'll be there.
Yep.
Hey, go to sexyliberal.com, sexyliberal on Facebook. Check it out. Or go right to Ticketmaster or to the Chicago Theater. Do it. Get it. Oh, Karen in Los Angeles has my happy clappy back until Hal gets here. Hi, Karen.
Hi.
Hi. Go ahead.
Well, I was my husband is an aerospace worker. He works, a subcontractor for one of the big boys.
Right.
And, we've seen drones up close when they were prototypes when we went and toured one of the big boys. And, let's face it, it's just a new, way of working, weaponry. And people who seem to think that you're not going to have any casualties, be it military or civilian, are insane. It's part of war. My husband was also former military. This is how war is, especially when you're in areas where guerrilla warfare is practiced. This is just the reality. And drones are actually more efficient because they see things that human eyes cannot. They're more precise. They can map out areas better than we have ever done, even from planes, because we're now computerized. It's like, Google Earth.
Google Earth, but with a Hellfire missile.
It's not even, they don't always use Hellfire missiles, that's the bad end. But look at what they can do versus, they can map out much better than they have ever done before. And our military has better strategy that way. I hate supporting that. Believe me, kills me. I'm such a liberal. My heart.
Listen, beats. I'm not. I was just going to say, I'm not just liberal. I'm a liberal that wears a peace sign every day, and whose favorite song is Imagine.
My household is supported with blood money. How do you think I feel?
I guess,
hard.
Karen, and again, I don't mean to always, everybody says, you reflexively defend the president, but I mean, again, he ran on saying, I want to run a tougher but smarter war on terror, and I feel like that's
I
what
am
we're...
From,
Right, because when when you talk about civilian casualties, there's a lot of them in war in Iraq.
This is guerrilla warfare, people. We are no longer in the wars of World War II, where everybody wore the uniform and you shoot at the right uniform.
Yeah.
This is Vietnam. This is way wars are fought now. Is you don't know who your enemy is.
Well, and I've had several soldiers call in and say, you know, I served in Vietnam, and boy, I wish we had drones then. I mean, it's like I say, there is a world that we wish we lived in, and the world we live in, I guess, where I don't.
Right, and like I said, I'm very liberal, and I'm supported by the military industrial complex. I feel like the biggest hypocrite alive, but then again, I understand the need.
Yeah.
And, you know, it really sucks for me. Like I said, I'm like the biggest hypocrite alive.
Right.
You know,
that's the thing. It's not an easy issue. Karen. And it's, anyway,
I
appreciate your call.
The real question is what we're doing in Afghanistan at all, really. Are we propping up the Karzai regime? You know, staving off the inevitable? You know, we're not going to stop terrorism, and the more accidental civilian deaths we cause,
the more terrorists we create. I get it. All right, let's dive into the Right Wing World, see what's doing, shall we? Oh, Sean Hannity, he's not supportive of the president on the sequester, really?
No!
Surprising.
The plan the president is now calling, quote, not smart, not fair, was actually his solution to, quote, saving the economy. But again, that's not what we heard today at the White House. Instead, what we heard was our commander, campaigner-in-chief, reverting back into election mode, of course, blaming Republicans, using pathetic scare tactics to smear the opposition. Sound familiar?
Yeah, because you spout the same BS every day. That's why it sounds familiar. Broken record, you twit.
It really is. That's the same play every day as the first president that's ever practiced politics of any kind.
Yeah.
Talked about issues that he ran on and won on. Never happened before.
And he's not campaigning. He can't run for a third term. Halfwit.
Sean is kind of a halfwit.
That's being complimentary.
I know.
Okay.
That's...
Oh, stop it.
What?
He's my friend. Okay. Rush Limbaugh.
Were it not so masterfully presented, this actually is... This is a deranged mind here.
The president?
My door is open. I put tough cuts and reforms on the table.
Yes.
He's not.
Yes, he has.
There aren't any cuts, folks, and there never are any cuts, and there haven't been, and he certainly hasn't proposed any.
First of all, you're not going to do anything to the deficit by hitting Social Security and Medicare.
Right.
Right.
Because those are in a lockbox.
But I don't even know how you argue with things that are just patently untrue. He has made cuts. That's what this whole fight is.
Right.
Okay. I don't...
Well,
I don't understand how you go from a faulty premise, but I guess his listeners are used to that.
Yeah,
sure.
Mitt Romney is ahead by a billion points and will win in a landslide.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Well,
the president is cooking the jobs numbers. You'll see. Wait till you see after the election. They're going to be revised down. Actually, they were revised up.
Yeah, and they're always revised.
Incorrect again.
Oh, he never said that.
No.
He
never says that.
No.
It's just a new day.
Yeah.
And you just forget what he said yesterday.
Okay. It's like 51st dates.
Yeah, it's the magic of radio.
It's always a new day. Everything just goes off into the ether.
That's right.
Okay, Bill O'Reilly on the president.
Today we have a far different society in America, one where the president of the United States, who sets the tone, believes his country is not a fair place, and also believes that his mandate is to change the capitalistic system so that Washington, D.C. can provide. And millions of Americans are buying in. If you don't succeed on your own, don't worry about it. Not your fault. And checks will be sent to help you out.
Wow.
Now that philosophy saps personal motivation and creates a mindset
communism.
Of victimization.
Okay.
If the president believes the deck is stacked in favor of the rich folks,
Kenyanism.
What chance do I have?
God.
They're just going to go with that for 4 years, the Santa Claus argument?
Yep.
Okay. How's the audience feel about that? You are all stupid moochers. All right.
Okay.
All right. Steve Ducey.
There's a reason why their ratings are down.
Steve Ducey, here we go.
Well, background checks may lead to a national registration. National registration leads to...
Communism.
I am from the Sheriff's Department. We just want to see where your guns are. Yeah, that's what has a lot of people scared.
It will lead to none of that.
No.
Just... Background checks just are to make sure that you're not a crazy person.
What has, although, you know what? What has a lot of people scared is lying like that.
Yeah.
On Fox so-called news.
By the way, you know what?
What?
We're doing something crazy out here in California. I just read about in the LA Times yesterday.
What?
We actually are taking people's guns, but people that commit crimes that aren't supposed to have them anymore.
That makes sense.
Should have them in the first place.
It's going to make the NRA. Well, yeah, but people that are, that legally bought them and then have committed a felony and they're not supposed to have them anymore, they're going with the, you know, the giant socialist cartoon hand to their doors.
The Fred Flintstone paw.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Crazy criminals have more rights to a gun than the rest of us. How dare you?
Right. Okay, Neil Cavuto.
You know, I think they might call this a case of, I don't know, bad optics. Right, it's pretty cold there, but tens of thousands of environmental activists taking to the streets in Washington to protest global warming in the middle of this Arctic blast.
What did I just say yesterday when I read that story about all the new climate studies? I just said,
I claim New Jersey in the name of Mars.
Someone on Fox News is going to go, isn't it cold in the winter in the east? And look, there's no more warming protester.
And Neil Cavuto didn't let you down.
No, he did not. God bless him. All right. And we end with Brian Fisher on American Family Radio.
One of the reasons I pray for President Obama and virtually every day pray for him by name is that Jesus taught us to pray for our enemies and for those that persecute us. Now, President Obama, ladies and gentlemen, we should be under no illusions here. President Obama is not our friend. President Obama is our enemy.
Wow.
He is seeking to restrict religious liberty. He wants to confine the First Amendment free exercise of religion clause to 1 hour a week.
What?
That's what he wants to do. So
no,
he is not our friend.
Wow, that smells a little...
Okay, that's treason.
I was just going to say, that smells a little treasony.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The President of the United States is
Our
enemy? He's the enemy? The enemy. That's kind of dangerous talk, isn't it?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Maybe the Secret Service needs to borrow the giant cartoon paw to have a little chat.
Yeah.
Isn't that the sound the cat made when he was out for the night?
Right.
Yeah. Then the cat will stay out for the night.
Okay. All right. That concludes Right Wing World. Oh, thank God. That didn't agree with me. Okay.
No, you didn't like that?
No, no. 18 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Making right-wing wackos everywhere hurl. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Do it. 23 minutes after the hour. Somewhere there exists a drunken video of me and Jackie Schechner and Elizabeth Fitzgerald singing this at the inauguration. With the P. And there's pictures of us with the P. With Will I Am. Yeah, we were just off stage dancing and singing drunkenly, as I recall. I think Roland is holding that. He's going to blackmail me with that at some point.
You were singing and drunk the entire 4 days we were there.
Right.
So.
Right. But this is different. This is with a P.
This
is with P's.
I see. Okay.
Okay. Jim, who said if they didn't like a government somewhere, Guatemala, Iran, the Dominican Republic, Chile, they just brought it down. Guess what? Republicans are now using the same tactic here at home. If they don't like who we've elected president, they find some way to undermine the government, discredit its leaders, whatever it takes to destroy it.
Hermann Göring.
No, that was a bad guess. That was Chris Matthews.
Yeah.
Ah.
Who does not think that Republicans are fair enough.
Fair enough. Fair enough.
Who said we are using in this country the same Cold War CIA tactics to destabilize our own country? Look at the impact of the constant threats to shut down the government on public confidence. It's all in the ratings. It's making people forever nervous about the basic ability of America to even have a running government. Is that patriotic? I don't think so. Who said that?
William Howard Taft.
No. Chris Matthews. Very good points.
Yeah.
The president on these questions.
They don't have to happen. There is a smarter way to do this, to reduce our deficits without harming our economy. But Congress has to act.
What a tyrant.
Yes. Here is Senator John Barrasso, Republican of Wyoming, basically saying, nah.
Yeah.
Let me be very clear, and I'd say this to the president as I say it to you. These spending cuts are going to go through on March 1st. The their taxes are off the table.
He is the reason why people hate Congress.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's completely unwilling to work with anybody.
We're going to destroy the country just to make the president look bad. Oh, did I say that out loud? Oops.
Michael Tomosky in the Daily Beast has a great piece on this. Whose idea was this? Because this is all there is on Fox News. That, right. Oh, this is the president. Hashtag ObamaQuester.
Well, you got it right that time.
Yes. He writes, whose idea was this quest or why should it matter? And he says the important thing now is outside of Fox News land, it's an unimportant fact whose idea, quote unquote, it was. The Republicans are partial owners of this idea, and as the party that now wants the cuts to kick in, they deserve to and will bear more responsibility for the negative impacts. He says, you'll recall readily enough, it was the first time in history, as talking about how we got here, an opposition party had attempted to attach any conditions to increasing the debt limit. This is how we got there. The Republicans had the leverage at that point, he's saying, because it actually seemed plausible they were crazy enough to push the country into default. So fine, the White House proposed it. It did so only after months of Republicans publicly demanding huge spending cuts, refusing to consider any revenues, and acting as if they were prepared to send the nation into default over spending. In other words, this was the administration's idea, much in the same way it's a parent's idea to pay ransom to a person who's taken his child hostage. There was a gun to the White House head, which was the possibility of the country going into default, which, again, never done before, never filibustered a cabinet pick before, never before.
Get rid of Social Security, Medicare, or the dog gets it.
Right. Tomosky writes, even if the administration officials proposed it, it would have remained just a proposal if 218 Republicans hadn't supported it. Most Republicans agreed at the time the sequestration trigger was a good thing. Paul Ryan on tape, all of them on tape, saying what a good idea, that it would force everyone to get together and agree to a path forward in a long-term budget deal.
How's that working out for you,
Steve? Yeah. Yeah. The Republicans' ace card is that they know, Tomosky writes, or they hope they know, they are not equally affected. Austere cuts will harm the economy and the blame will fall on the president. Normally, yes, but the majority of the people are onto them. I hope he's right about all this.
Yeah.
He says they've wanted these spending reduction for 2 years. It hardly matters much who invented the mechanism for cuts. What matters, as the Republicans will find out, is that people don't want them, which I thought the president made a really compelling case for yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what they think a clever hashtag is going to make people go, look what the president did to the economy.
ObamaQuester.
Tara in California about the sequester. Hey, Tara.
Hi, Stephanie.
Hi.
Well, first I have to say that I end the evening with John Stewart, and I begin the morning with you, and that's how I keep my sanity.
Thank you.
I'm just so frustrated with all of this, with this hair on fire, Chicken Little persona that they try and put us all under. We've been doing this way before Obama came into office, except they were holding all the cards. This is all about them keeping their money. This is all about everybody, screw everybody else, as long as they get what they want. I'm so tired of these parasitical little pissants calling the rest of us moochers.
See, this is what the person that like pretends to hit you for years, and you eventually you stop flinching, right? We're just
yes.
Like, okay, you know what? Stop. Because they've been threatened. Literally, the president's right. We launched from one crisis, quote unquote, to another, right?
And they're not done. They're not done. They're going to try and keep it up for the whole 4 years. And I don't care what anybody says, because I'm going to say it out loud. It has no damn thing to do with this man's policies. It's the scary black man.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, you know, as we've said over and over again, it's hard to tell which part of it is that. But, boy, there certainly are a lot of firsts, aren't there, in this with this administration in terms of disrespect for this man and this office. See, you stopped lynching years ago. See, I do that. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
Take it out.
Because I know you don't mean it.
Right. Damn it. Lost all my power. I have no power here. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Maxine Waters next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
She backs up mediocre looks with a horrible personality.
Awesome. It is Stephanie Miller's show. Welcome to It's All Got. 34 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. A lot going on in Washington. No one we like to talk to about it better than Representative Maxine Waters of the great state of California. Good morning, Congresswoman.
Good morning. How are you?
I am just fine, although as exhausted as you are by, as the president calls it, one manufactured crisis after another.
Yeah.
I thought he made a great case yesterday on the sequester cuts. What did you think?
absolutely, it's real. And it's so important that people understand this. Not only did he make a great case, it's a warning. And it's saying to citizens, you can get involved in this. You can, you know, pressure these conservatives to make sure that they don't allow this sequestration to take place. Because if it does, it's going to hurt so many people. It's real.
Well, Congresswoman, again, it just it almost seems incredible and yet not that here we are again. So this is next Friday. The president even, you know, put out another an idea of doing a short-term thing, which, of course, some people call it kicking the can down the road. But it just, it literally, we're at a point where it just seems ungovernable. I mean, what are the position that the Republicans have put us in? I don't know how do you see this playing out this time?
Well, you're absolutely correct. This kicking the can down the road continues to happen. You know, we entered into this when we were trying to raise the debt ceiling, and they insisted on tremendous cuts. And so we worked out something to kick the can down the road, to pay the bills of the government, and to deal with this at a later time. We thought that this would be so awesome that they would see the light by the time we got to this point, and they would join with us in coming up with a way by which to get revenue in and to pay down the debt and do a credible balancing of the budget this way. But no, they're saying let it kick in. We don't care. We don't care if we prevent young kids from having a Head Start program. We don't care if we endanger this country by not paying for our first responders who have the responsibility for our safety and security. We don't care if the food does not get inspected. This is serious.
Well, yeah, I'll say. When it comes at a time when, for the first time in history, as you say, we got here because for the first time in history, they literally threatened to have the United States go into default and not raise the debt ceiling, tie it to this. Now they are literally, they have filibustered a Republican war hero as the president's cabinet pick. Again, first time in history. I mean, you feel like we just had an election. Is this
well,
just...
there yet. They're just obstructionists. They, you know, they have said that they wanted to change government as we know it. They're trying to take it apart piece by piece. These are people who hate government. They work in it, but they came to destroy it. And it's so obvious. I think that they began to define themselves in this election, and that's why they did so poorly. And, you know, I think the American people are finally waking up and seeing that despite the fact they encourage us to get along, to work together, to compromise, there is no compromising with these people. They are mean, they are honoring, and they're out to destroy this government and thus the democracy.
Well, Representative, I was just reading a quote from Chris Matthews, and he literally compared it to, you know, how we would bring down enemy governments from the inside, and that's what Republicans are trying to do tomorrow. I think what they're hoping for is they know how much these cuts will hurt the economy, and then they'll blame the president, right?
Oh, yes. Oh, absolutely. Every opportunity that they get to blame the president, to lie to the American public, they do that. Even recently, I heard that when the president announced that he had put together this database so that they could get people more involved in government, more involved in issues, you know, addressing this through action and mail and all of that, now they're calling it an attempt by the president to run for a third term, and to he's gathered all of the secret information on everybody. Aha! See, we told you that your government is not your friend. They're invading your privacy. They have all of this information. They're going to use it against you. It's absolutely crazy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was just reading a piece in the Daily Beast, and I mean, he was saying, Mike Tomosky was saying he thinks that the American people are on to the Republicans. I mean, this is what the president was, you know, using the bully pulpit for yesterday. Do you think so? I mean, this is what they're betting on. This is now the third or so game of chicken in a row they're playing with the president. How do you think this is going to play out?
Well, I think it's going to backfire on them. They can't, the American public is indeed understanding the difference between, you know, the Democrats and the Republicans and the right-wingers and the Tea Party people and what they're doing. And even though they recognize that they're in trouble, at least some of them recognize that, and they're supposed to be getting together to strategize and to change their ways and to show some respect for immigrants and all of that, they just can't seem to let it go. They just can't seem to do the right thing. And so I think they are headed toward the end of a Republican Party because the American people are getting on to them. They're going to continue to learn who they are. And I think it's going to bring them down.
I mean, Newt Gingrich just as much as said that, oh, you know, they won't vote for immigration if they think it's the president's because they don't like him. I mean, it's like, this is what we've come to?
This is what we've come to. Don't forget what Mitch McConnell said, that, you know, his number one priority was to bring this president down. So,
yeah.
You know,
well, I mean,
that's what we're dealing with.
I was struck, Congresswoman, you were there, obviously, in the hall for the State of the Union, which I thought was tremendous. And I thought, here's like people clapping politely, and you realize the House Republicans are going to try to, they're not going to try to do anything the president proposed that, you know, largely the American people are on his side for, and that's why they voted for him, right? And they literally, and I think John Boehner said as much, that none of that's going to happen. None of that's going to happen that he just talked about in the state.
Well, you know, I think they have shown themselves who they really are when they did not vote to help the people after the, the hurricane and the storm with Sandy. And, you know, this has never happened either. I mean, this is what this country does. We come to the aid of a community, of a city, of a state, whenever there's a natural disaster and people are, you know, put in a very difficult situations with their homes being destroyed. And we have to fight to get them to vote to support rebuilding and giving some emergency aid. So they're crazy.
Well, I love because you say it. Well, you say it the way it is. Congresswoman Waters, you know, obviously a lot of the emotional high point everybody thought of the speech was clearly the president's thoughts on gun control.
Yes.
During the State of the Union. But, I mean, again, even the point where we've gotten in the debate in this country, there's Ted Nugent sitting in the chamber who has threatened the president's life. I just heard some Republican yesterday agreed with a right-wing radio host and then had to apologize that the president is using Gabby Giffords as a prop in the gun control debate. I mean, have we gotten to the point where we can't even have a decent human debate about these issues? I mean,
we're way past the point where we can have a decent debate. You know, not only have they undermined this president in extraordinary ways, you know, and people rallied with guns on their side. They, you know, said he was not born in the United States. Every opportunity that they get to try and destroy him, they use it. You saw their reaction at the State of the Union. I mean, these are guys who couldn't show sympathy for Gabby Giffords. I mean, who, you know, almost lost her life in that extraordinary attack on her. And they don't care. I mean, they don't respect the fact that these children were killed in the way that they were killed up in Connecticut. And when he did that extraordinary moment when he talked about they deserved a vote, they should have been on top of the ceiling applauding with us. Some of them didn't even stand. Some did.
Yeah.
Some of them did not stand or applaud.
Congresswoman Waters, do you think legislatively this time is different on gun control or no?
I beg your pardon?
I said, do you think things are different this time legislatively on gun control or not?
I think that we've reached a point we're going to get something. I think the centerpiece of it is going to be universal background checks. I think we have a consensus, and I think we'll be able to pull a few from the opposite side of the aisle to join in a majority on that. I think that, you know, the fact that your gun dealers, you know, have to do these background checks, but these people at these gun shows who are selling guns out of the back of their cars don't have to do it. We've got to close that loophole, and we've got to have universal background checks on everybody. I think we can get to that. I think we might be able to get to some mental health resources and ways by which we can be supportive of families and individuals who have problems that, you know, we need to teach them how to recognize and what to do and places to go to deal with that. So there are a few things that I think will change. But I don't believe that we're going to take the huge step, the big step, and really deal with an assault weapons ban in the way that many Americans would like to do.
Well, you know, I have, you know me, I'm a happy, clappy liberal, but I guess at this point you have to feel like anything is better than nothing. If, you know, anything that we can begin to get done, and who knows, if we get a new Congress, what we can get done down the road, right?
Well, you're absolutely right. We're working very, very hard to get something done. The NRA has been in control for too long. You know, they've literally owned the Congress of the United States of America. But all of this money that they put out there to lobby, you know, well over $1 million every year. And then, you know, the support for their candidates and the attempt to, you know, stop candidates who are opposed to guns. I guess they spent $7-8 million doing that in the last election, and they've intimidated elected officials for far too long. I'm so pleased to see what Mayor Bloomberg is doing.
Yeah.
Mayor Bloomberg is targeting those pro-gun candidates. He's up in Chicago,
yep,
where the seat for Jesse Jackson Jr. is being contested, and he is going to stop the candidate that is pro-gun. He just knocked off one of the candidates right here in California,
Mm-hmm.
In the last election. So we're finding that resources are gathering, and Gabby Giffords and her husband have started a foundation, and so maybe they can put some support behind candidates who want to stand up but that are scared, so that they can really vote their conscience on this stuff.
Well, yeah, absolutely, and way past time. Speaking of which, it's way past time. You have to get back to democracy now.
Yes.
Somebody's
got
to do it.
Somebody has to do it. Thanks so much.
Good talking with you.
You too, Congresswoman.
Thank
always
so
a pleasure.
Much.
You too.
You are talking drama on the issues. Please keep going.
Thank you, honey.
Yeah.
I appreciate it. All right, there she goes, Congresswoman Maxine Waters.
Awesome. Love her.
All right. I will never forget the time I had to speak right after her. After she made actually an entire church, I think, levitate.
Yeah. Wow.
Now, here's lame-ass white girl.
What?
Hi, everybody.
Who's she?
Okay.
What?
46 minutes after the hour, right back on The Stephanie Miller Show.
The left roars back. It's The Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks coming up at the top of the hour. Kevin in Chicago with an analogy on the sequestration. Staff, it's like President Obama coming across a dead person that John Boehner shot and Boehner shoving the gun into President Obama's hand and screaming, "Hey, look what the black guy did." Okay.
Well,
thank you.
Not quite, maybe.
Saying. All right. We were talking about the gun debate. Hey, Republicans are unhelpful in every way. Missouri Republican wants to make it a felony for his fellow lawmakers to propose gun laws.
Why, a felony to propose a law?
Right.
You can't
right.
make it a felony to propose a law.
Right, he knows
That's
that.
Insane.
Right, he knows that. He says he doesn't expect his bill to pass. He filed a bill criminalizing certain bill language to make a point about freedom.
Well, then he's just being an a-hole.
He's the freedom to be a douche.
Yeah.
You have the freedom to...
Be an idiot.
Do what I don't want you to do.
He loves the Second Amendment so much he wants to make it a felony for state lawmakers to propose legislation he thinks would violate it.
I see.
His bill comes amid a flurry of red state legislation aimed at nullifying any new firearm regulations coming out of Washington. Okay.
Whatever.
All right. I'm guessing this is going to be on what the Fox tonight.
Okay.
Obama responding to a child's plea for gun control. Remember when he did the press conference with a lot of the kids that wrote to the president?
Mm-hmm.
They wrote letters asking, expressing concern about gun violence and school safety. The White House released a photo of Obama responding to one of the letters. The letter just says no guns and that it's from a little kid, and the president appears to write proud of you.
Oh, shocking.
Someone's going to make a... Remember the ad about the black hand?
Mm-hmm.
Jesse knows
there's
going to be a right?
God, really?
Black hand taking your gun away.
With a pen.
You needed that gun.
Exactly. You should shoot that pen right out of his hand.
Wow. I don't want to say, I don't want to reopen this whole violent video games can of worms.
Oh,
Chris.
Boy. Here we go. Okay. Go ahead.
You know what I'm going to say.
Uh-huh.
Law enforcement sources say Adam Lanza was motivated by violent video games and a strong desire to kill more people than another infamous mass murderer. He saw himself being in direct competition with the guy, the Norwegian man who killed 77. Right, yeah. How do you say his name? Breivik? Anders?
Breivik, yeah.
Yeah. He wanted to top his death toll and targeted nearby Sandy Hook Elementary because it was the easiest target with the largest cluster of people. Evidence shows that in his mind, Lanza was also acting out one of the fantasies of the video game. For Lanza, the death apparently amounted to some kind of score. Investigators say they recovered what they called a trove of video games from the basement of his home. Sources say Lanza spent countless hours there alone in private gaming room with the windows blacked out, honing his computer shooting skills. Lanza also made multiple visits to nearby gun ranges with his mom and practiced together with the actual weapons. Oy.
Wow.
I'm just saying, I know we can't ban them, Chris. I just think they are not helpful.
Am I in any of them? Do they mention
could
me?
Be.
Yes.
You're pretty yes. much in every,
you're implicated
every of them.
In pretty much everything.
Yeah.
That's what they're saying. It's just it's a score. And yeah. Somebody was saying last night on TV, you don't get a win for hitting somebody. It's a kill, mm-hmm. you know, in these games.
But
and that's what
there are kids in Canada who play games all day long in blacked out rooms.
I understand. I'm a gun grabber. I am the biggest gun grabber there is.
I know. But you don't get these sorts of things in Canada.
Because they're not afraid in Canada. Because they have a government that actually takes care of its citizens.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rhonda. Yeah, Michael Moore made that point mm-hmm. in that piece. Rhonda in Texas, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Rhonda.
Hello, Stephanie. And everyone there that I love so much. I had a thought about the sequestration.
Uh-huh.
I think perhaps it might be time for a little old-fashioned activism. I think everybody who has heard their job called out, possibly to be lost in the sequestration, and anybody who might support stopping the sequestration should call in sick Friday and let's have a sequestration sample day.
It's like that film, A Day Without a Mexican, about what L.A. would be like.
Mm, yeah.
For all you people that want everyone to self-deport or whatever it is.
Whatever.
Right. It's not just Mexicans. It's Guatemalans. It's
right.
Know, yeah.
Well.
So Daily Beast with some great stuff lately. John Avalon wrote a piece, Republicans' ugly and shameful Chuck Hagel filibuster. He said Republicans have doubled down on obstructionism with their shameful filibuster of Secretary of Defense Chuck Hagel. Add to this fresh install. Rand Paul put a hold on John Brennan. Looks like Republicans are backing a cynical political strategy that could compromise national security while proliferating hyperpartisanship even further in the future. Let's put this in perspective, as I made this point earlier. Republicans decided to filibuster a Republican Secretary of Defense nominee, someone Mitch McConnell once called one of the most respected foreign policy voices in the Senate, someone John McCain said would be an excellent Secretary of State in his administration, his fictional one. Avalon writes, this bitter confirmation fight is sadly ironic because picking a member of the opposite party to serve in the cabinet, usually an olive branch.
Yeah.
Remember how that would be seen as outreach? Okay. But no longer, and the abuse of the filibuster to try to block or at least to delay the confirmation of the Secretary of Defense again raises questions about filibuster reform. Because if a senator had to hold the floor and risk his bladder, like Jimmy Stewart and Mr. Smith goes to Washington, while keeping at least 41 of his colleagues on the floor over President's Day weekend, my guess is that this block would never have occurred.
Well, I guess I'll just have to stand
all
here.
Right, sir, I guess I'll just have to speak for the people of my state from right here.
And
I'll tell you one thing. The wild horses aren't going to drag me off this floor until those people have heard everything I've got to say, even if it takes all winter.
Even if I have to pee in a canteen. Stand here and... Boy.
That's really good, Jim. Oh, that was the actual one.
Yeah.
Okay. Instead, this hate-fueled game of kabuki continues, and the Pentagon has denied a new leader with a NATO summit just days away. This can't be the headline Republicans want as they try to rebrand GOP plays politics with national security. Yeah,
yep.
It is.
So what
really,
else is new?
Yeah, it is really, yeah. Oh, in other GOP news, fight. Yeah. Tea Party emailed to pick Karl Rove in an SS outfit. Did you see this?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
We can just stand back and let them do the work themselves. A top Tea Party group taking its clash with Karl Rove to a new level, sending out a fundraising email featuring a photoshopped image of him in an SS uniform. Mm-hmm. Wipe the smirk off Karl Rove's face, reads the subject line from Jenny Beth Martin, please and thank you, co-founder of Tea Party Patriots.
Why do they all have three names?
I don't know. The spokesman for Tea Party Patriots said the image was a mistake. And it was never approved. Right. Uh-huh. That just happens sometimes by accident. Sure. Just the way Scott Brown pocket tweets by accident.
Sure.
All right, right back. Hump Days with Hal Sparks next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's The Stephanie Miller Show.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks stuck in traffic. Does that, in L.A.? That's a likely story. He'll be here in a moment. But
yeah.
You know what? I would hurry if I were you for April 13th in Chicago.
Chicago, it's time to stand up for your sexy amendment rights.
A well-intoxicated media being necessary for the sanity of sexy liberals. The right of the people to laugh out loud shall not be infringed.
That's right, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour is coming to the Windy City to fight for your right to keep and bear all. If you haven't witnessed this epic, record-breaking comedy tour before,
what the f*** are you waiting for?
And even if you have, do it again, because live at the Chicago Theater.
Steffi.
I'm sexy and I know it.
On April 13th, Hal Sparks, John Fugelsang, and the darling of progressive media, Stephanie Miller, are bringing a whole new level of naughty comedy to Chicago. Tickets are available by going to Ticketmaster.com. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, live at the Chicago Theater. For your tickets, go to Ticketmaster.com.
No background check required.
Look at his body. Okay, thank you. Oh, right. Oh, look, it's another secret to long life. By the way, I've been having some chest pains, and I called a...
When, this morning or just in general?
No, in general.
Okay.
I called a cardiologist that I went to see 5 years ago, and I have some sort of defective something. Well, something I didn't want to know about.
You shouldn't be taking spinning classes then.
Yeah.
I can't get into this ear for a month, so I need to wait for a month to have a... Fine, nobody help me.
Yeah. I think it's that health plan you have us on.
I should have been so cheap. But now, all I need is garlic, onions, and rotten eggs. The secret to long life.
Sorry, what? Rotten eggs? Really?
What?
That might just make life seem longer, but not really.
Garlic and what was the
second one? Gawker brings us onions. Rotten eggs. Uh-huh. Hydrogen sulfide is the sweet, sweet smell of longevity, provided it's taken in the correct dosage, because otherwise it's the stench of death.
No, I need
like
the
that roll-on testosterone is supposed to be great for you, unless, of course, you get it on anyone else in your family.
And your family will die.
Right. Okay, this is a Bloomberg story.
Your daughter's testicles will drop.
If your daughter's testicles have descended, perhaps you shouldn't have gotten your roll-on testosterone on her. Bloomberg story, medical researchers around the world studying all the amazing life-prolonging aspects of hydrogen sulfide. Gawker says old people will take literally anything to stave off their all-consuming fear of death.
Confuming, too.
Right.
Confuming.
Yes, right. Yeah.
Death!
Yes.
Touch you at every turn!
Yeah, that's right.
Death!
All right.
There it is! Death! You know, at my age, the mind starts playing tricks. So, death! Oh, where were we? Death!
That was John McCain at his town hall yesterday.
Yeah.
How do you get these hydrogen sulfides, you're wondering? Diets rich in onions, garlic,
yep.
And apparently rotten eggs.
No, you don't need rotten eggs.
Yeah, no, you can just eat eggs.
Okay.
Yeah, omelet with onions and garlic.
Wowee, Julie from Seattle sends us the news. Hi, Mama. Results are in. Minority Leader Mitch McConnell is the least popular senator in America, a human and or turtle. He is only a 37% approval rating in his home state of Kentucky.
Wow.
Julie says it's enough to make a chinless varmint want to crawl back under a leaf of romaine with a bottle of Kentucky bourbon.
Oh, my God. You're a talking turtle.
I have a firm grasp of the obvious, son.
Yeah, Mitch McConnell, the most unpopular senator in the nation. He faces a 55% disapproval rating, 37% approval rating from Kentucky voters. That is the worst unfavorable rating of any senator.
Wow.
He's number one.
So perhaps I'll be denied a 247th term.
McConnell's campaign manager said that because it's a PPP poll, they have an agenda to make Mitch McConnell look bad. The PPP poll director said when Republicans are arguing with pollsters, they're losing. This is the same kind of stuff we heard from Mitt Romney's campaign in the Republican congressional races. Yeah, PPP was actually pretty accurate, as I recall, in the last... The Washington Post, our friend Katrina Vandenhoevel writes a Mitch that needs scratching. He said a majority leader Mitch McConnell finds himself in a tougher battle than many anticipated. According to a recent poll, just 17% of Kentucky voters are committed to voting for him. Given how out of touch he is with their needs, it's no wonder, she writes. Time and time again, McConnell has ignored the needs of the people while staunchly defending a pay-to-play electoral system that shields him from legitimate challengers, and Kentuckians just might be fed up. And Salon.com with the headline, The Tea Party is beating Mitch McConnell. It's lined up a potential primary challenger already succeeding
at
pushing McConnell to the far right, which we're going to see in the sequestration and all that stuff.
Check out her first.
I don't think John Boehner has ever pronounced that correctly.
No. No.
Hashtag. Wow. Okay. And in other Tea Party news, the Huffington Post writes that the Ted Cruz missile gift to Democrats, the people of Texas, have sent their very own Cruz missile to the Senate, set to destroy any remaining vestiges of moderate Republicanism, and just about certain to alienate Republican-leaning independents everywhere. Yeah, that guy's a
piece of work. 250 communists in the State Department.
If he spends the next few months doing what he's done since January 3rd, he will be the proverbial gift that keeps on giving to Democrats through the 2004 midterms. The approval-disapproval numbers are dismal for both parties, but worse for Republicans. Congressional Democrats at 33% approval, 59% disapproval. Congressional Republicans, though, at 19% approval, 72% disapproval.
Wow.
He was talking about what he did in these the Chuck Hagel hearings, that he literally demanded proof that Chuck Hagel had never taken money from North Korea. He had no documentation to back up his demand. Even Benghazi all the time, Senators McCain and Graham were nonplussed. They also will vote against confirming Hagel, but both understood the PR disaster of a completely unjustified personal attack on a war hero and former Republican senator. Yeah, that guy is Ted Cruz.
He's icky. He makes me wrinkle my nose.
Right? Let's go to Ray in Michigan. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Ray. Hello, Ray. Or not. Kelly in Virginia. Hi, Kelly. Welcome. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Good morning, guys.
Hi.
I just have a quick question, and somebody please define this for me. But isn't the GOP behavior in the Congress kind of equivalent to treason?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes, there's an easy answer to that, and it's yes. Yeah, it's what I was saying Chris Matthews was talking about. This is how the CIA used to bring down governments from within. And this is what the Republicans apparently want to do.
But wouldn't they prosecute somebody for treason? Why can't they be prosecuted?
I'm down with that. By the way, we've been talking about Scott Brown. Why do people lie about things that you can't possibly pocket tweet full words and sentences?
No, you can't.
Okay, so he was saying, after midnight on the weekend, just saying. I'm just guessing.
Nothing ever good happens from tweets after midnight on a weekend.
And I'm guessing brown liquor was involved.
I'm sure. Pants.
And he has no plans to run for Senate again, but he could be looking at running for governor.
Yeah.
So, just saying. And they're saying he'll have to negotiate the mistakes of his last campaign, the bizarre questioning of Elizabeth Warren's racial heritage. The video is of his staff doing the tomahawk chop. Remember that?
Uh-huh.
Oh, his meandering answer about his favorite Supreme Court justice. Remember he named, all of them? Just
to be sure?
Everybody. Yeah, that explanation was... Chris Christie denying a report that he told a union official he agrees with 98% of what Andrew Cuomo thinks on the issues.
Wow.
Larry Bowman, political director of the Plumbers, Pipefitters, those guys. Yeah. He quoted Christie as saying, I'm not much different than Andrew Cuomo. I probably agree with him on 98% of the issues. So Christie had to put out an immediate statement saying, I'm sure I didn't say that. What I do remember saying and what I do believe is Governor Cuomo and I have a lot of the same kind of values in terms of the way we were raised. And that was the conversation I was having.
I see.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Okie dokie. Kids, this is very good. You know our good friend Adam Smith from the great state of Washington? Speaking of things that he agrees with Andrew Cuomo on, he's proposed a bill that would make full benefits to same-sex military spouses a federal law. It's a bill that would enshrine the recent changes in Defense Department policy towards same-sex spouses of service members. It would include benefits named by Leon Panetta's policy announced Monday and additional benefits not included under the current policy. Smith said authoring the bill is a matter of bringing federal government policy in line with progress that has been made on the state level. He said several states, including mine, Washington, allow for same-sex marriage. You have increasing instances of, okay, we now are going to have to make the LGBT community serving openly within the military. How do we make sure we protect their benefits? Unfortunately, throughout the U.S., even with Don't Ask, Don't Tell, there's a ton of discrimination in there. So he said, the argument I'm trying to make with my Republican colleagues is same-sex marriage is legal in a whole bunch of states. Don't Ask, Don't Tell has been repealed. Regardless of how you feel about it, it counter-serves the military's functioning properly to have discrimination within the ranks. To which I say, yeah, rock on, Adam Smith.
With your bad self.
I hope all this gets, cleared up at the Supreme Court. It's time for everybody to have equal rights, I think.
Sure.
There you go. I'm just saying. I think it's clears up all those pesky little legal issues with one fell swoop. All right, 17 minutes after the hour, Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. He's here.
He's in the lobby.
All
we're
right.
Getting him.
Right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller.
Pump up the volume, pump up the volume, pump up the volume. Yes, yes, yes. Oh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. Hip thrusts. Okay, 21 minutes after the hour of the Stephanie Miller Show. Oh, yeah.
Steffi.
Oh, what's that heavy breathing I hear? Why? Could it be? People watching on Current. Lap dance is free.
With Hal Sparks.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
So I think I figured it out.
Hi, Hal.
Hi. I think that Congress is being run by the political equivalent of cutters.
And right.
I mean that. The self-inflicted
right.
wounds, sheerly for the feeling of being present or
yes.
mattering.
Yep.
Or
feeling anything.
Creating right. a crisis just simply because
feeling anything at all.
To feel like they're alive.
Yeah. And John McCain's his little press complaint yesterday, his little personal, gathering of the constituents so he can remind them that they work for him.
Mm-hmm.
He struck me as a waiter that the manager hasn't had the conversation with yet.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, he's worked there so long that, like, well, John's been here. He's, you know, he's our oldest waiter. He's been here for a long time. And he gets a little crotchety sometimes. And the new young manager is having
forgetful.
Right. Yeah. Hasn't, like, taken him aside and gone, John, I know you're a valuable member here at Chili's, but you can't, if someone wants breadsticks, you,
right.
you bring them breadsticks. You don't go, hey, loser, and then throw someone else's silverware on the table. You can't do that. And that's kind of what he does. I mean, effectively, that's the John McCain strategy for governance. Is just,
I just like the spectrum of Boehner just drunkenly cutting himself in front of the president. I'm all dead inside, Mr. President. I go, don't do that.
I'm squirting orange in all place.
It's in all honesty, I mean, like, I think it's this level of self-importance that has struck D.C., to where everybody is convinced they are the president. If they're not going to ever be elected to president, they can certainly act. They can just obstruct and be
right.
the, you know, when you, as a single senator, can stop any bill from going through anonymously, then how do we have a representative government anymore?
Yeah.
I mean, what does my vote matter in my state or any other if Jim DeMint can shut down a bill without ever admitting he's shutting down a bill. It's silly.
Well,
like,
and Boehner's just so ham-handed about it every
right.
time. He's like, the president's quester. Who is the president's quester?
Right.
Every statement he makes is another version of I know you are, but what am I? It's him. He did it.
Yeah, Obama quester. It just rolls off
right.
the tongue. It's
right.
so, you know what I mean? It's kind of like Watergate and Whitewatergate.
Hashtag Obama.
At least they didn't call it Sequestergate.
Yeah, well, that's. I mean, we're that close. I mean, what's the difference, honestly?
Barrygate. They're called Barrygate.
Yeah.
At least the media has their eye on the ball, how they're covering really the important issues, and that is why can't they get a picture of the president with Tiger Woods?
This is not about a trivial issue like a golf game. We don't really care about the president's score. What we care about is access to the president.
president of the United States, whether it's a Democrat or a Republican.
Right.
This is about the very serious issue of transparency.
Right.
Very serious
right.
issue
the Republicans
of getting
a picture
of Tiger Woods.
Take us off the cliff.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's
yeah,
that's the
and that's what they
thing.
Want to do is be right. able to yell, President, Mr. President, have you met any of Tiger's mistresses? I mean, that's what they're going to. I need access so I can scream that question from the side of the green.
No,
I mean, that's unfortunately, that's what the
they're
problem
just
is.
Starstruck. They want to get a
yeah. right.
close
yeah.
to Tiger
have you
Woods.
Right. Met any of the Hoochie Mamas? That's what he's right. That's what they want to ask.
Right, and I think was it the Washington Post article where they were, you know, they by the like 15th paragraph they get to the point where they put the White House aside, which was
right.
the White House regards a lot of the modern reporters as whiny, narcissistic, and self-important. Like, they really want their spin on the article
right.
more so than they want to actually convey information.
Thank God Tiger Woods spoke.
Playing with Mr. President was pretty cool. He's just a wonderful person to be around, and we won. Yeah, he calls up and says, hey, Tiger, you want to play?
He does not.
Obviously, there is a process that's involved, and I was invited to play. He hit the ball well and got an amazing touch. He can certainly chip and putt.
It's interesting that I guess the president's method of speaking is contagious. At some point, you just play one
cadence.
Golf game with him, and you will start talking like that.
Can't get away from the cadence.
Right. It's kind of amazing. Like, wait a minute, who am I listening to? That's amazing. Totally, completely different.
Could you move? I'm lining up my putt.
My putt.
Okay.
It's very important.
All right.
We line up our putts.
Jim in Texas, you're on with Hal. Hi,
speaking
Jim.
Of putts is lined up.
Hello. Yeah.
Hello, Jim.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Indeed.
Okay, good. The reason I called is I wanted to tell you that I'm probably your best fan. I remember you when you were a teenage host. On I've Got a Secret.
Oh, my God, when
yes.
I was a child star.
Yes, right.
That's
before
right.
it all went wrong.
Now
she's the Tara Reid of progressive talk.
I also wanted to mention that, can you remember before the election that all the economists from Romney were saying that if Romney was not elected, the entire economy would collapse?
Oh, yes.
Right.
Well, guess what? The Dow is poised to go to its highest level in its history.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's a chin
and
down.
Where are all these hypocrite economists that were telling us that the world would end if Romney wasn't elected?
Yeah, and Jim,
no
how
one
about,
can
how
even
about,
remember
has,
one of their names.
Right. Mm-hmm. Has Jack Welch apologized, by the way, for saying the president was cooking the books, the jobs numbers
no,
before
right.
the election? And they've only been revised upwards.
We
right.
want to see the Dow's birth certificate.
Right. I mean, it really does have a lot to do with just the unfortunate part is that our economy is based on mood as much as it is,
right.
And when they manipulate it around the you know the elections,
it is not based on mood. Shut up!
It actually does cause it to drift south. It really does.
The Dow is premenstrual.
Right.
I hate you.
Feeling oversensitive.
I need chocolate.
Yeah. If John Boehner ever becomes the chairman of the Fed, we're in big trouble.
I feel miserable. Cut interest rates. I can't take it.
Hack in Oklahoma, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, Hack.
The Dow's at its highest level in history? What self-respecting mark just allows that to happen?
I know. The nerve.
See what you did there?
Hey, about that picture of Carl Rove.
Oh, that's a Nazi.
Myself,
yes.
I haven't seen it myself, but I can imagine it with those glasses. Doesn't he kind of, wouldn't he kind of look like a slightly rotund Heinrich Himmler?
You know what he looks
bit,
like?
Yeah.
He looks like the guy in Raiders.
Yeah,
now,
right.
What shall we talk about?
The guy whose face melts off.
Your fire is going out.
That guy. It's time to play. Which
no,
Nazi does Carl Rove most
look
resemble?
Like.
All
yeah.
right, listen, we're not the ones that photoshopped
yeah,
the Tea Party
that
did it.
That was a Tea Party thing.
I didn't photoshop him into a
now, granted,
Hitler outfit.
To give them a little bit of you know space to be crazy,
right?
Their cultural references are very slim.
Right.
Homeschooled. Not a lot.
Right.
Probably two VHS tapes in the house.
And the Tea Party said it was a mistake. They didn't. Right.
Right.
They meant to put him in.
Of course, he does spell his name with a K.
I spent. Yeah. Sorry, it was an accidental six-hour Photoshop job.
Yeah. We meant to make him look like Goering, not Himmler. We
yeah,
apologize.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
mistake
sensitive. Anybody make.
29 minutes after the hour. Right back. Hump Days with Hal Sparks mm-hmm. on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Is it just me, or does that stripper look exactly like
Stephanie Miller?
Huh? It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hump Days with Sexy Liberal Hal Sparks. Wow. Sometimes
she
just
looks more like hot brie.
Thank you. Sometimes just the Fox Chiron is the comedy.
Right.
This is an actual Chiron. Was the Russian meteor a plot by President Obama to prove that global warming is real?
Oh. You know, you're right.
No.
I think that's a famous debunked Photoshop.
Really?
Yeah.
Because it could be real.
No, that's not even the font they use for Fox News Chirons.
Although, again, we don't want to go too far down the Mitch McConnell hole where you actually write a letter to your constituents. did you guys talk about that earlier today at all?
No, Mitch not
yet. Yeah. Mitch McConnell apparently fell for an Onion blog, the Duffel blog, and that said that former Guantanamo detainees were going to college on the GI Bill. They were getting GI Bill funds. And he wrote a very concerned letter.
I'm very concerned.
I'm very concerned. Yeah, his
sad.
Yeah,
he's a United States senator.
Which surprises me that he's got his the lowest rating of any senator.
Been this concerned since Charles Darwin threw me off the HMS Beagle.
Since my last family reunion in the Galapagos Islands.
Yeah.
I'm writing on behalf of constituents contacting me regarding Guantanamo Bay prisoners leaving post 9/11 GI Bill benefits. I would appreciate your review in response to my constituents' returns.
Wow. What a dope.
Wow.
This
what
is real.
Animus.
Yeah, this is real. Fox News host Bill O'Reilly hosted Glenn Beck on his show to discuss excerpts from a U.S. Department of Agriculture cultural sensitivity seminar released this week by the conservative group Judicial Watch and concluded they taught government workers to be racist.
Huh?
Oh, what, you want to know the details?
Yeah.
There was a sociologist and lecturer who specializes in talking about workplace diversity, and he said the following. In the footage, he says pilgrims did not hand over their passports to Native Americans, and as he doesn't like calling people minorities, he prefers to call them emerging majorities. He goes on to say a better understanding of issues facing African Americans can help society become an extension of each other's quest to make America stronger, healthier, and freer for all of us.
And the problem is what exactly?
Well... Oh, and then he says, say thank you to black folks for that. That was just too much. That was too much for Glenn Beck. He said, look at what this government is doing. This government under Barack Obama is hiring people to teach people how to be racist.
God.
Everyone needs to say thank you, black man. Thank you, black man. What's with this? We're all in this together. Here's an organization that is our government spending your tax dollars trying to teach this nonsense. What are they teaching? They're teaching that the white man came over and stole the land from the Indians.
Yes.
Well, that's exactly what happened.
Excuse me for one second while I flip out. Everybody might want to cover your ears. It's Black History Month! I'm all
right. Right. Yeah. Okay, are you okay now?
I'm fine. I'm all right.
Okay, he's back, everybody.
Of all months to go on television and complain about black people getting thanked or treated nicely.
During Black History Month.
He went on to
say, you cretin.
I would urge everyone to call your congressman and tell them, pull the funding from the USDA, which, of course, provides food stamps for children and helps ensure
pull
that
the
food
funding
is safe
from the U.S. Department of Agriculture?
Because a guy was talking about diversity.
USDA is a commie plot.
Are you saying that Glenn Beck would prefer to be eating horse meat? Because clearly that would be the case.
He's a horse's ass. You'd think that.
Right. That's cannibalism.
Ray in Michigan, you're on with Hal. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Steph.
Hi.
First of all, I love your show.
Thank you.
I am a security officer by trade.
Uh-huh.
And I am a liberal, and I am a gun owner. I don't own 63 guns, but I feel that there is no need for, with a few exceptions, any need to have assault weapons and high-capacity magazines in civilians, period.
Right.
Right. You're not alone.
Yeah. I mean, the exception being, obviously, police SWAT teams.
Right. Yeah. You agree with Joe Biden. Just get a shotgun. And I go one step further, just get a box like mine. Get a sound effects box. All you need is a sound.
Who's there?
All you need is a... Yeah, all you need is a...
There you go.
Right?
Yeah, right.
Okay, I'm leaving now.
Sorry, this is not
my house.
I'm
not sure it was the best advice he gave to fire a couple of shots.
No.
Off the back porch. Don't you need to have some idea what you're firing at? That was Joe Biden's advice.
It's the Ruth Gordon approach from any which way you can.
Okay,
here you go. Get out of here and leave my house. Trying to run up on a helpless little old lady. Get out of here, you.
No one's breaking into my
house when he gets there.
No one's breaking into my house or house because I have a box.
And
you have a Ruth Gordon impression.
Yeah, I have Ruth Gordon standing out there. Get out of here, horse's ass.
Ruth Gordon and the sound effect would be enough to scare you.
Yeah.
Just that and roll me in the clover.
Roll me in the clover. Roll me in the clover. Ha cha cha cha. Now you just get yourself a nice long look. And I'll be in the office. Thank you a lot. So it's been a long time since she's visited.
Yes.
Yeah, we missed her.
It was any which way but loose or any which way you can?
That was a confluence of the two.
Oh. Right.
Because Roll Me in the Clover is from Any Which Way You Can.
Okay.
Right.
But the shotgun on the porch is from Every Which Way But Loose.
Sure. Okay.
Any Which Way You
Can. When the biker gang rolls up and she shoots at them on the...
Wow.
And blows up. She gets knocked over by the gun blast because she's accidentally... Whoever the gun training guy handed her a loaded weapon and she accidentally pulls the trigger and the weight of the blast almost knocks this 98-year-old woman over to the side. She's like... And there's this great look where she clearly was not expecting it. And they edit out whatever noise she made. She just... It's amazing.
Even if you had Prince in your house, that would probably discourage.
That's Michael Jackson,
right?
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh! That's another mic, right? Yeah, right. There you go.
Okay.
All right. Tara in California, you're on... You're...
Sorry.
Hi, Tara, you're on with Hal. Go ahead.
Hey, Hal, how you doing?
Hi.
I have just a point to make about GOP hypocrisy concerning the Chuck Hagel nomination.
Yes.
I think it's really interesting that they're demanding 5 years of records from Hagel, but they were fine with Romney only giving us 2 years.
Yeah. Oh, of course. Yeah. But
you've sussed out hypocrisy among the GOP ranks, Tara?
And to be fair, Chuck Hagel is, running to be, Secretary of Defense and of course... Mitt Romney was running for a much lower office,
right,
apparently, according to them. Yes.
Right, that was important.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's
By
a certain
way,
level of secrecy the president has that the guess the Secretary of Defense wouldn't.
Right.
No, right.
Of course.
You want to let everyone know what you're doing.
Because Ted Cruz just has a feeling his money comes from North Korea.
I got a feeling.
He's got a spidey sense tells him it's coming from somewhere.
That everything I read on the internet is true. I got a feeling.
Right.
Speaking of campaigns, so the Supreme Court takes a campaign finance case. The case argues that the limit on what individuals are allowed to give candidates and parties and PACs is an unconstitutional violation of individual donors' free speech rights. So are we going further down the Citizens United rabbit hole, or are they going?
Yes,
okay.
We are.
All right.
And Scalia will vote for that. He will strike that limit down. He's basically all said so much over the last few years.
But Samuel Alito at the last State of the Union very clearly said no. Right. That's not
no,
what
that's
this stuff.
No,
no,
that's not a slippery slope
true.
To this happening. No,
that's not. Going
we don't
to
set
happen.
Precedent in the Supreme Court.
That's crazy.
Yeah,
where'd you get that idea?
Well, now that they've done unlimited amounts of foreign money, and next it'll be corporations or people as a ratified thing. Therefore, multinational corporations will be allowed to spend as much money on American elections as they want, and they won't have to say that they're doing it.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be no limit. So, what could go wrong if Monsanto is just
perfect
picking your president?
Dana in Maryland, you're on with Hal. Hi, Dana.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Good morning.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Good, hey, Hal.
Hi.
I'm going to kind of one-up the other caller. I remember you from Talk Soup.
Oh, all right.
And then there's this VH1, like, this is the 80s.
I love the 80s. 70s?
Danny Bonaduce.
90s.
The nice thing about that show is I didn't have to see any of those other people.
I know. It's so cool.
Met Mo Rocca.
I've met Mo, but only at events to promote things that we've done together that I didn't see him while doing.
Right.
So
right.
Weird.
I've done those
shows too, Dana. And it's basically come sit in a room for hours by yourself and give us lots of free material. How would that
exactly.
Be?
Yeah, cha-ching.
Exactly. And I get both your radio shows now for $4.99. So ding, 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 bargain.
Thank
Hooray.
You.
And I listen to Hal on Saturdays. Congratulations.
Thank
Mazel.
You, WCPG Radio, Chicago's progressive.
They have an overinflated sense of self. The Congress, they're narcissists, like you said. Mm-hmm. And Bush never golfed during important things going on. It's
It's all different now. Everything is different now. No president has ever played politics or played golf.
Right. But Elizabeth Warren, I mean, she should get like a crew, right? You know, Spitzer and just get all these people together and we should make those calls because I want to see those bankers go to jail.
Yeah.
Well, that's
enough is enough. And, you know, let's make the calls.
Mm-hmm.
And let's, I think she's a great start, you know, but
she can't be in there alone. Push.
Right. What do you think about that?
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at from, you know, from Daily Kos to Think Progress and Crooks and Liars, they do a lot of aggregate work working on getting blue candidates into the House seats and those and Senate seats. Especially as we gear up for 2014, start paying attention to those things extra. And if you're in a safe blue area, then donate to that other, you know, that other candidate. That's one of the reasons Elizabeth Warren made it.
I've done that before. I've donated to Nina Turner. I think she's a rock star, so I have done that.
Not Tina Turner.
Nina Turner.
Yes.
Both are great. Both are amazing.
Both are great. You guys have a great day.
All right, you too, honey. Love you. All right.
But only one of them is an American citizen anymore.
That's right.
Yeah. Right.
Well, she's moved to Switzerland.
She did.
Because she can't stand the rain.
So she has to learn Schweizerdeutsch.
Schweizerdeutsch.
Ain't we a pair, raggedy man?
All right. Oscar talk. Next, 45 minutes after the hour, right back. Hump Days with Hal on the Stephanie Miller Show.
The only place in America where dissent is still allowed. It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
Yeah. It is Hump Days with Sexy Little Hal.
It's not enough Midian music anymore.
That's true. Because it's unnecessary. It's just as much programming, just no more MIDI.
Oscars on MIDI. Sunday, everybody. How do you think Seth MacFarlane's going to do? He's only 39. I didn't know that.
Yeah, he's very young.
Over a billion people watch this. A little bit of pressure.
Well, he's had a nasty cold, too.
Yes, he has.
So that's going to...
I think that's just stress on the body leading up to hosting a show that a billion people might watch.
Right, because somebody was saying with certain hosts, you know what the show's going to be. With Seth, no one knows what it's going to be.
Right.
Remember the because they went with the demographics with who was it? James Franco and
That was great.
Anne Hathaway.
I loved Bill Maher called him Stiffy and Bug Eyes. That didn't go well. That did not go well.
Mm-mm. I will still stand by my statement that the idea of giving an award for best art is weird and unnecessary, and I will stand by that until they give me one.
Right.
And then I will cry and wave it around. Thank you. It's so nice just to be recognized by this group of such wonderful other people. I forgot to have you. I must thank my agent and forget my wife. Bye.
I'm never going to get laid again.
Recognized by your peers for working your craft.
Yeah. What is this, a SAG award? Sit down! Peers. Oh, shut up. This Oscar was planned 2 years ago. We sat in a room and went, what do we got for Oscar season 2013?
Yeah, what's my Oscar bait?
Daniel Day-Lewis, in a beard, weird voice, Lincoln. Ah, it's a winner. Throw it out there. That's great. What do we got? We got another one about people who have to deal with tragedy and learn how to do it with a plum.
Oh, Ted Nugent took to Twitter on Monday to respond to a Saturday Night Live parody. He didn't like it. He was apparently
not up to him, though.
He was apparently portrayed as a wild-eyed madman,
but he,
in a Fox and Friends spoof.
And your point would be,
would they just play a clip from Coming of Age by the Damn Yankees, the video?
In the SNL skit, he told the host he was upset about Obama's speech, but also that his goatee was full of ticks.
That's funny.
That is, and true, probably.
It looks like he could use some Cedarside.
Yeah, that's true.
Clive Davis.
I wash with Cedarside. Wang dang doodly doo. Pow. Ooh, I shot a hole in my second floor of my log cabin I built with my own teeth.
I was alarmed.
Wang dang doodly hoo.
I'm going to shoot the ticks out of my beard.
Right, yeah. I don't have any ticks in my beard. I shoot them with a shot. Wang dang doodly hoo. That's his answer to everything. Yeah. That's Ted Nugent's answer to everything now. Instead of playing guitar and being creative, which requires work, I'll just wave a gun around. It gets me just as much attention and half the time.
Clive Davis is a bisexual.
Yeah.
He acknowledges in his new memoir.
Wow. How much does it cost him?
He says bisexuality is misunderstood, noting he's never stopped being attracted to women. He said the adage is you're either straight or gay or lying, but that's not my experience. To call me anything other than bisexual would be inaccurate.
Mm.
He says he has had two committed same-sex relationships over the past 20 years. Does not reveal the name of his current partner of 7 years.
Hmm. Oh, well, good for him.
The name or gender of his
partner. Bisexuality is one of those, is you know, the B in the LGBT world.
That's right.
Often gets you know, castigated and pushed off more than the T does, and the T has a hell of a time.
Yeah.
And I was telling the story that I have a new straight guy friend, and there's always that testing period. Mm-hmm. You know, that you know, are you really a gay guy? You're not gay.
Yeah, but I have had an experience in my life when I was, I had a lesbian friend who was very committed. I mean, could not have looked more like Jodie Foster circa 1993.
Wow.
I mean, contact Jodie Foster. Dead on. Dead ringer.
I'm listening.
Who at one point, while I was in her kitchen, went, "Wanna have sex?" Like, just on a whim. Just
wow.
Like,
wow.
Sex. And,
I don't think
not
Jodie
Foster. Not Jodie Foster.
No, not
your
the
friend.
Actual, no, right. My friend who was a dead ringer for Jodie Foster.
I don't think you'd ever hear that from Stephanie.
No. And I've been in her kitchen.
Line, you never know.
Yeah.
You never know.
I don't know.
Ask Jim. I get a little handsy with Jim when I've had a few.
That's true. If you've seen on stage, I mean, it's not that different. She's the exact same backstage right before I'm about to go on at Sexy Liberal as she is when she comes
very
out for
handsy.
Her show.
Yeah.
The difference is when people see it, it's a show. Backstage, it's called HR, quite frankly. There was such a thing, and there isn't.
HR puffing stuff?
Hey, you're right. I'm very handsy with you backstage. It's,
absolutely.
It's part of my pre-show ritual.
Sure. Right. Yeah, and unfortunately, it's not part of mine. So,
they,
it's kind
sorry.
Of,
hey, what
all right,
are you doing
now
there?
I'll go focus. Okay. Now my brain is elsewhere. Thanks a lot.
Jim, this one's for you. Jennifer Lawrence, you know, from Silver Linings Playbook, speaking of Oscar stuff, she says her breasts have a life of their own.
Uh-huh.
I think people are fascinated with breasts that bounce. They're so used to seeing the fake ones. People are confused that mine bounce.
I'm not confused at all.
Yeah, it's like that that joke in L.A. Story where he's fondling Sarah Jessica Parker, puts his hand on her chest, and he goes, "Sandy, your breasts feel weird." And she goes, "Oh, that's because they're real."
I haven't felt that in
L.A. See, you shouldn't look like San Onofre when you're lying on your back.
No.
That's how you know it's not natural.
Yeah, it's scary,
thank you, Jim.
Actually. Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm worried that you're
Chris,
getting
enough
ventilation.
Chris, you went to Arizona what?
Arizona State.
There you go. This is for you. Arizona State University believes a porn website is selling its good name.
Yeah.
ASU argues unless Sun Devil Angels is stopped immediately, the site is, quote, likely to cause initial interest confusion among Internet users seeking information regarding ASU. Gawker writes, really? Because if you actually believe Arizona State would be affiliated with real-life hardcore porn, you're probably ASU material.
That's probably a plant by Phoenix University online.
Or the University of Arizona, that's the big rival.
Right. Mm-hmm. The two of them are always fighting.
Yes, they are.
That share of the internet study at home in your pajamas crowd.
Well, no. Arizona State does not compete against the University of Phoenix. Thank you.
Ooh, let's get all... Don't get Jim and I in a UCLA fight, because that never ends well. Nikki in Fort Worth, you're on with Hal. Hi, Nikki.
Hi, good morning.
Hello.
How are you?
Good, go ahead.
Yes, I had a comment about gun control.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's legal at 18 to buy cigarettes and 21 to buy alcohol. But if you're overage and you hand a 12-year-old a six-pack, you're going to jail. Now, why is it legal to have a gun and give it as a gift to, you know, 10-year-old little Bobby or to take him out hunting or shooting? I think that's wrong.
I'll tell you why. Because there's nothing in the Constitution that says the right to a brewski in regard to a well-regulated militia shall not be infringed upon. In all honesty, that's really where it is. And it's one of the things where you can't use as an analogy when you're dealing with gun nuts. You need ID to get on a plane doesn't work, like Nikki Haley famously saying that doesn't work because you don't need an ID for your rights. You need an ID for your privileges.
Yeah.
You need a driver's license for a car because there's nothing in the Constitution about cars being a right, although there probably would have been happened a couple of hundred years later. But the reason is it's not, drinking is not a right. It's a privilege and a chosen act. Whereas at that point, they were like, you need a gun in your house in case the British come back. That's what the Second Amendment was for. That's why it says in regard to a free state, not a
by
free
the
person.
By the way, drinking a privilege, I thank the Lord for every night.
Yes.
All right.
Which I don't partake in. So.
I know. I know. What's up with that? Hal Sparks.
Yeah.
HalSparks.com. And, of course, with me, Sexy Liberal Chicago, April 13th. Tickets going fast.
Yeah.
Thank you, Hal.
Be there.
Love you. All right. See you tomorrow on the Stephanie Miller Show.